I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
But let's keep talking Royals here a little bit, as well as Josh Vernier, our Royals insider, joins us in studio. We were talking Michael Wacha extension. You were just at the press conference. In general, did you think they were going to get this done? It seemed like it was trending in that direction. George Brett was on with Fesco and Dusty Friday, and he's like, oh yeah, he's coming back.
You knew that Michael Wacha enjoyed his time in Kansas City, being an Iowa guy, being a Midwest guy, his family, all within driving distance. You knew that he enjoyed it. Obviously, his performance warranted the Royals' desire to bring him back. The question was, would the Royals once again back up the type of money that it would take to bring in one of the most consistent right-handers in Major League Baseball over the past half decade? And once again, for the second straight offseason, John Sherman, whatever it takes, you know, to continue to put a winner on the field, to me, it's a no-brainer on both sides, right? It's not as if Wacha gave you any sort of a hometown discount.
Yeah, 3 years.
You paid the price.
You paid the price, and in a league where there is no salary cap, I don't really care what the price is. If Sherman's okay paying it, it makes the team better. It's a big thumbs up for me and a no-brainer for Wacha and his family.
I think the easy part is the way I viewed it, Vern, is like, this is like bigger picture stuff, but Lugo, Reagans, Wacha, Singer still, which we'll ask about in a minute, I thought the Royals knew internally they need a couple of years with the pitching system before it's like, oh, we turn and burn these guys, and the next guy from AAA replaces the starter we just got rid of. I think they know they need time before they can fully turn into that as a pitching staff.
Sure.
So, like, this secures the fact that they're a good pitching staff for a couple of years while they continue to try to make playoff runs.
Yeah, that's certainly the hope, is that Wacha and Lugo and Singer will maintain what they did this year. I think Reagans, you don't have concerns, as he's younger than all of them and nastier than all of them. Although, you know, if I'm stacking up those top four starters, next to Reagans, Wacha might be the one I'm most confident in duplicating what he did in 2024 again in 2025. But yeah, there's no argument that Chris Bubich, Daniel Lynch, Alec Marsh, Chandler Champlain, Noah Cameron, that the guys that are next in the organization aren't ready for 2025, unless we're going to have some sort of a built-in excuse. And honestly, that to me is what this deal today eliminates, is that so easy excuse as to why this team was going to take a step back in 2025. Well, when you lose a clubhouse pro, and I heard Q say this a few times over the course of the season, and I would echo it, and obviously it means more coming from Q, but from my perspective, I really can't remember another starting pitcher to come through Kansas City, or really any other that I've covered in my time around Major League Baseball, that just checks every single box of how to be an absolute professional. In between starts, the day of his starts, communicating with the media, with his teammates, motivating guys, working with the guys, being it. Michael Wacha is just the perfect teammate, that I think the perfect match here in Kansas City. But yeah, eventually you would like to get to a place where you don't have to break off $16, $17 million for 1 year.
I also thought it was big because this was a pretty healthy rotation last year. Wacha was like the only guy that ended up on the IL, and it was for what, like a week and a half or something.
Yeah, just a quick broken foot.
That's all. Yeah, no, you're right. Yeah.
He pitched his ass off with a broken foot.
That's right. Yeah. Like, so they were really healthy. You always wonder, like, you know, whether it's regression or just even health regression to some extent. This to me allows you to have some more depth, not just off of performance, but look, there's a decent chance somebody in that rotation is going to be out for a little bit next year. Yeah. And so if you were already down to three guys you could trust, then you just get thinner and thinner. They're just much deeper by having Wacha back in a variety of ways.
Yeah, and it's wild when you look at last year's team and how many guys met or exceeded expectations. And for the most part, you're running that thing back again next year. Now you're expecting, and I heard you mention this earlier in the show, the bullpen on opening day 2025 should be far superior to the bullpen in 2024. Yes. So if there is any sort of regression from a Lugo, from a Singer, from an Alec Marsh, you're hoping that the bullpen could offset that. But as far as the innings that were logged by a Cole Reagans, by a Michael Wacha, I think I'm going to need those to be duplicated. I don't know if I'm banking on 200 from Seth Lugo again. And like you mentioned with the injury, whether that's Singer, Waka, Reagans, whoever ends up finding themselves on the IL for a few weeks, to me, hopefully it's not as damaging as it was this past season, because when they lost Michael Waka for that week and a half, they were a shell of themselves. To me, that was the one stretch that you kind of just throw out. The Dodgers series, the Yankees series, where they dominated the Royals at Kauffman Stadium. You kind of throw all that stuff out. So when you factor in the likely injuries, you feel better about having Michael Waka, but you also feel better about that renewed belief in the bullpen that I think a lot of Royals fans will have on opening day.
What's the next move? Do they need to move Singer to get the leadoff hitter, middle of the order, corner outfielder guy they want? Or is it just pay for that pleasure? Obviously, I don't think they're signing Juan Soto next week, but like, what is the next move for the Royals? They've openly said they want another bat. They'd like some leadoff protection.
An on-base bat, no question. Yeah, that to me would be the next move. And, you know, I almost brought this up to JJ today when I asked him about John Sherman and the role that Sherman played in this. And, you know, as soon as the season was done, Sherman goes to JJ and says, hey, the reason, and obviously JJ knows this, the reason why we're here is the pitching. So whatever it takes, we're down to bring Michael Waka back. So there was no impediment from ownership. And Cody, that question that you asked, again, reminds me of the old mindset in Kansas City that, again, when this offseason started, I'm still in that old mindset of course, Michael Waka is going to deny that player option. He's going to go to free agency and someone else is going to pay him 3 years at $51 million. Right. He's too good to get three and 51. Someone's going to give it to him. Well, now that's the Royals. So, no, I don't think you need to trade Brady Singer to offset the 16, 17, $18 million that Michael Waka is going to be bringing in. Now, I think you can hang on to Brady Singer. You can trade him at the deadline. You can trade him next offseason if you need to. But the next move to me, would be an on-base bat, but you need to look a little bit deeper than that, because I don't know if there's an everyday spot right now that is open on this team. So when we cast out that line for the free agents, the names that you're looking for at to me, are not guys that are expecting 145 starts, expecting 400-plus at-bats. Because when you look at this team, right, you know Vinny and Salvi and Freddie and Bobby, right? Massey, I think everyone agrees, is the second baseman. JJ was going on and on about Michael Garcia and their belief in him and their belief in MJ Melendez in left. We like Izzy in center. Renfro, you have to pay him as he picks up his option. There, yeah. So maybe you can bring in someone to platoon with MJ, someone to platoon with Garcia or Renfro. But as far as here's the third base job, here's the second base job, I don't see him bringing in that caliber of player. So I don't see them spending that amount of money. Right, because to bring in an everyday guy, that's $10 to $15 million.
Because you've seen the names that fans have floated out, you know, Teoscar Hernandez and some other, like, doesn't seem all that realistic.
Every team should want Teoscar Hernandez after goodness. That performance. I mean, Kim, I think, would be just outstanding on this team.
But he's going to get he's the most sought after middle infielder in baseball, maybe, that's available, right?
And if you're the Royals, I'm not interested in going much beyond a 2-year deal, maybe with a mutual option for three. So when you're talking about the top free agents available, I can't imagine many of them are interested in a platoon role for a 2-year deal.
Would you entertain trading Singer? Because just from a standard standpoint of like teams typically trade pitchers early, I feel like I'd hold on to at least a year. Like to have him under control, 25, 6, and 7. Like,
I think it's only two. I think there's only two more years. He's already had 2 years of arbitration. He's a super two, so he has
two. Okay.
So he has this year arbitration. Last year he made almost $4.5 million, so you would expect that to jump to $7 to $8 million this year, maybe $9-10 million in 2026. The only reason I'm open to trading Brady Singer is if you're trying to dump salary. And there's nothing that I've seen from John Sherman over the years that leads me to believe that he's interested in dumping salaries, interested in putting up pennants, hopefully. You're better with Brady Singer on your team. Of course, you entertain it. If the right deal comes along, and I think JJ and this front office have earned the leniency. You see something in James McArthur, you see something in Lucas Erceg, you see something in fill in the blank in another organization, pull the trigger. But if they ask me, no, I want to hang on to Brady Singer and go for this division title.
Lastly for you, they're just now announcing season awards in baseball. It's my biggest, it drives me crazy. We wait till mid-November for MVP award. We wait for mid-November for Silver Slugger. What?
And they think it's a big deal with how they do it over the week. They're like, oh, Mondays.
Yeah, day by day. What are we doing? Yeah,
should announce it during the playoffs. It's a regular season
Why not
award?
Announce? They did the Roberto Clemente award. Obviously, Salvi got it this year, which is great. They do that in the middle of the World Series. Why can't they do the MVP award the same way? Is there a real reason?
No, I can't imagine there's a real reason. I think it's a TV show.
They do the MVP for the Super Bowl the two nights before or whatever at the NFL Honors.
Yeah. Well, in my opinion, baseball's trying to poorly copy the NFL into making every award a show on its network, on MLB Network. You got to tune in to watch Aaron Judge and Shohei Ohtani's reaction to winning the MVP. My frustration is American League, National League. We can do away with that now.
Oh, just entire league MVP. I don't hate that.
You don't have Eastern Conference, Western Conference,
AFC,
NFC.
Can they wait till after Bobby wins one, and then we can do that? Can we wait till Bobby gets his first one?
Because otherwise, Shohei might just win it every year.
Yeah, we need to wait. Can we wait till Bobby gets his first MVP? Then we can just do an MLB MVP award.
But won't we get to the place where you get Mahomes fatigue or LeBron fatigue, where, yeah, they should win it every year, but they don't, right? Shohei should win it. Aaron Judge should win it. To me, it's antiquated in that we don't do it in any other sport, split it up, because we no longer split it up like we used to back in the 70s where you didn't see anybody in the National League.
It's true.
It should be one America or
like
one
that.
Major League Baseball.
That makes a lot of sense. Vern, good to have you in studio, man.
Thank you.
Enjoy the rest of the offseason. I wondered if we could call this hot stove or not. Is it too early?
No. I mean, well, it's not that chilly out. You got to play for me real quick for tonight? Coming up later?
Well, we can. I think Kareem Hunt over rushing yards, Kate Otten over receiving yards.
Thank you very much.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts. For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.